"It's okay," Jamie said, raising his voice. "Seems to be a meteor strike up on the plain." Izzy Rosenberg wormed his way through the gang at the entrance.
"A meteor strike? Where? How far? How big?"
Chang pointed to the monitor screen in front of him. "Repeat it," he said to the technician. The satellite imagery flared with a sudden burst of light that blanked out the screen. Christ, Jamie thought. If that had hit here, even if it only hit the greenhouse, we'd all be dead.
"It overpowered the camera's sensitivity," Rosenberg muttered.
"Must have been a big one," Jamie repeated. Sal Hasdrubal's voice called out, "Let's go out and see it." Turning, Jamie saw the tall African-American looming over the heads and shoulders of the crowd jammed at the entrance to the cubicle. "It's night," someone objected. "The rock hit up on the plain," someone else observed. Undeterred, Hasdrubal said, "We can ride up on the cables. They go to the top." "And what do you do then, walk 100 kilometers? In the dark?" "There's 2 campers in the old dome up there," Hasdrubal said impatiently. "Power 'em up and let's go."
"No," said Chang.
He said it quietly, but with the firmness of the Rock of Gibraltar. All the other voices stilled.
"We send Rova, not people. Monitor Rova from here."
"But it would take half a day to program a rover," Rosenberg objected.
"And somebody'd have to carry it up the cliff to the plane," Hasdrubal added. Jamie said, "Dr. Chang, I think sending a small team would be faster and more effective."
"Mission protocol does not allow excursions at night," Chang said, scowling.
Jamie knew that he was right, almost. Camper missions had gone out for days, even weeks at a time. They weren't supposed to drive at night, but Jamie remembered Dex and Possum Craig and others who had bent that rule out of shape. Rosenberg jabbed a finger at the mission director.
"Dr. Chang, that strike was big enough to blast out a new crater. It must have heated the ground considerably, melted the permafrost. We've got to get to it before the area freezes over again."
Chang remained unmoved.
"No excursions at night. Besides, campers stationed at Old Dome cannot run at night. Batteries are flat and need sunlight to recharge."
"But we could get to the dome tonight," Jamie heard himself say, "and have the campers ready to run by sunrise." Chang glared at Jamie, then seemed to relax. His shoulders slumped slightly. His expression lost a bit of its rigidity. With the merest of bows, Chang said,
"If scientific director recommends such procedure, I will ask for volunteers to assist him."
Jamie realized he'd just been appointed head of the excursion. Fingering the bear fetish in the pocket of his coveralls, he said to himself, "All right, that's the path I'll have to take." "Now we'll see how well the nanosuits protect against the cold," Jamie said to Vijay, trying to sound unruffled and fearless. They were back in the cafeteria, pulling together enough food to take care of the 3 men who had been picked for the excursion, Rosenberg, Hasdrubal, and himself.
"I'll monitor your life support senses,"
Vijay said as she shoved shrink-wrapped sandwiches into the insulated case Jamie was carrying. "Good," he said. She gripped his arm, forced him to turn and look at her.
"If I tell you to stop and return to base, you stop and return. Understand?"
Nodding. "Sure, right."
"I mean it, Jamie. I want you to promise me."
He was staring into her eyes. Then he broke into a slow, almost shy smile. "I promise, Vijay. I'll come back to you." She made herself smile back at him, even though she felt terribly worried about this sudden mission into the 100 below 0 cold of the Martian night. As they went to the airlock and the rack of nanosuits stored there, Vijay saw that half the dome's people were gathered there, milling, buzzing. She glanced at her wristwatch. Barely half an hour had passed since the meteor had hit. Then she saw Carter Carlton off to one side of the crowd, looking more amused than anything else. Jamie was moving through the crowd, which made way for him like the Red Sea parting for Moses. He saw Hasdrubal already in the extra-large nanosuit that he used, medical sensors attached to its inner lining. Reaching for one of the medium-sized suits, Jamie asked, "Where's Rosenberg?"
"Not coming," said Hasdrubal. "He's been replaced."
"Replaced? What do you mean?"
"Outranked by our senior geologist," said Hasdrubal, pointing.
Turning, Jamie saw Monsignor DiNardo pulling a nanosuit over his black coveralls.
"You're going out?"
Jamie exclaimed, surprised. DiNardo said,
This is what I came for.
But
you think I am too old for such an adventure?
DiNardo grinned at Jamie.
I am not so much older than you, Jamie.
Hasdrabble let out a grunt. The geezer squad. DiNardo waggled a finger at him.
I prefer to think that I will give our little excursion a closer link with God.
Jamie tried to smile, but he thought, Coyote will be waiting for us out there in the dark. Coyote, the trickster, the destroyer. We'll need DiNardo's God. We'll need all the help we can get.
Night.
Vijay wanted to kiss Jamie before he left, but there were too many people crowded around the airlock, and once Jamie pulled up the hood of his nanosuit and inflated it into a bubble helmet, it was impossible anyway. So she watched him and the priest and the towering African-American trudge to the airlock hatch. Jamie waved to her before stepping through. She waved back, feeling suddenly alone and afraid. The hatch closed. The telltale lights on its control panel cycled from green through amber and to red.
They're outside now, she thought. They're walking to the cable lifts.
The crowd broke up. Dr. Chang walked briskly toward the monitoring center, hands at his sides, shoulders bunched forward. You look like a lady who could use a drink. Carter Carlton was standing beside her, looking bemused. I still have that single malt in my quarters, he said.
No, Vijay said firmly. I have work to do.
She started toward the infirmary where the medical monitors were. They'll be perfectly fine, Carlton said, walking beside her. Those suits are good to nearly 200 below.
Are they?
They test them with liquid nitrogen, I'm told. Vijay shuddered at the thought of stepping into a vat of liquid nitrogen, suit or no suit. Carlton reached for her arm, but Vijay kept striding determinedly. Look, he coaxed. They won't even get to the cable for another 10 minutes. You have time for a quick drink. Just one.
Not tonight, Kata, Vijay answered, thinking, not ever. Not with a man who tries to move in when my husband's out risking his butt.
When they come back, then, Carlton said easily. We'll have a celebratory drink together then. Without another word, Vijay left him standing in the middle of the open dome as she headed for the infirmary.
He doesn't give up easily, she said to herself. You've got to give him that.
Jamie knew it was only his imagination, but he felt cold in the nanosuit. Just a couple of molecules separate me from unbreathable air that's close to 100 below zero, he kept thinking. Just a couple of molecules. They walked along the well-trodden ground, three little pools of light from the lamps built into the shoulders of their suits bobbing in the enormous, empty, black night of Mars. Overhead hung the stars, silent and solemn, spread across the sky so thickly Jamie could barely make out the familiar shape of Orion. The Milky Way flowed leisurely across the heavens, and one bright blue star beckoned to him. Earth, the blue world. Jamie couldn't reach into his coverall pocket to feel the bear fetish, but he knew it was there. Guide me, Grandfather, he prayed silently. Help me get through this.
There's the cables. Hasdrabble's voice in Jamie's earphone sounded tense. He could hear DiNardo puffing, but the priest said nothing.
We've reached the lift, Jamie reported on the radio frequency that linked to the excursion controller. He pictured in his mind the group clustered around the controller's console. Chang, Rosenberg. Would Vijay be there or in the infirmary? As if in answer, Vijay's voice came through.
All your medical readouts are fine. No worries.
Jamie still shivered involuntarily as he helped DiNardo clip the climbing harness across his barrel chest, then checked Hasdrabble's harness.
Hey, who checks you? Hasdrabble asked.
Coyote, Jamie almost said aloud. Instead, he answered, I've been doing this since you were in diapers, friend. The three of them rode up on the cables, side by side, in almost complete silence. Jamie had expected Hasdrabble to make some chatter, but the lanky biologist kept his thoughts to himself. He thought he heard DiNardo mumbling something, praying perhaps. They were facing the cliff, which whisked by in a blur of strange, almost menacing shadows in the weak light of their shoulder lamps, while their booted feet dangled in empty air. It took almost 15 minutes to reach the top.